Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Book Buzz Hollywood. My name is Alex. I'll be your host this evening. And today we have a very special guest, Gregory Scherer. We'll be talking about his book called The Wonder of Believing. Gregory, thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself without spoiling anything? You know, maybe introduce us into the book, The Wonder of Believing. What inspired you to write this story, and how does it reflect your experiences and struggles?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to do that. I am a pastor at a church in Eastern Colorado, and I've been here for quite a while. I've also taught music in the public school, instrumental music. So I've enjoyed a lot of different things. But as a pastor over the years, I've really locked into just, you know, doing my work as one who, you know, proclaims the word of God. But over the years, I've always had kind of a burn in my heart to put some things down, especially in clarity for kids on the truth of the gospel and the Bible writings. And people have done that forever, you know, Sunday school lessons, whatnot. But something came up several years ago that gave me an opportunity to do that. So I wrote this book entitled The Wonder of Believing. And really inspiration, I guess, if you want to think about, you know, to write it, the inspiration was that I would give kids the opportunity to have the same amount of wonder and excitement in their faith towards God as they do other things in this world that grab their attention. And of course, God being preeminent, we want that to be number one. But for kids, it's sure easy to be led away to other things. And so that was my goal initially, to give them that wonder for Him above all things.
Can you elaborate on how the narrative intertwines themes of faith, hope, and self-discovery in your book? And because it creates a very compelling and resonant story for readers. Can you just tell me a little bit about how you intertwine all those themes?
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. I think that most books probably intertwine a lot of things. There may be one primary message, but I do have a lot of combinations in there that bring together the point of the book. And no doubt about it, faith and hope are critical. Self-discovery, as you mentioned there, that's a part of that. But oftentimes in the Christian life, the self-discovery comes down to realizing who you are and who God is and how those relationships work together. And I think the wonder of believing, for a younger person, it gives them the opportunity to look kind of square into the eyes, and as well for the parents to take their children square into the eyes of dealing with who they are and who God is and how that relationship is reconciled and dealt with properly. I believe that that's probably a big part of how it intertwines, if you want to say it that way.
And so the wonder of believing, it touches on a lot of universal themes, right, that I feel like a lot of readers can connect with. So can you just tell me a little bit about how you believe that your story speaks to readers from diverse backgrounds and experiences?
Yeah, well, you know, there are a lot of diverse backgrounds and experiences. And I think that if we end up having to jockey the story in different ways to try to reach particular audiences, we end up changing the word of God. So I feel like in the wonder of believing, the universal theme is to understand, like I said in your last question, Alex, is that God has given us particular personalities and characteristics, whatnot. But we also come into this world, all of us, red and yellow, black and white, young and old, with our sinfulness on board. And that came from the beginning, Adam and Eve. And Christians understand that and know that. And so I think in this world today, kids are being led astray more and more and being lured by very tantalizing things, you know, internet, phone apps, things like that. And it just really draws our interest. We just are very satisfied with that. But as a result, sometimes the message of Christ and our relationship with Him and God's, you know, redeeming plan for us through the cross of Christ, it doesn't come out. And in a way, a lot of our young kids either get a blank slate or not much of a slate established in their formative years. And I just wanted it to be more of an upfront conversation in their early years. So I guess when you think about different backgrounds, the reality is we all have one key issue to deal with as we get to the end of our lives and throughout our lives. And that's to have a relationship with the God who loves us, but He loves us through really incredible story of his own son being sent to intercede, take the place of the judgment of our sin.
Yeah. And obviously that's such a big concept, right? And I feel like as a reader trying to internalize something like that while also reading The Wonder of Believing, I mean, I guess maybe as an author, what do you hope that readers will take away from The Wonder of Believing after they finish reading it?
Well, I believe, and it almost ties back to the other question, you know, one of the universal needs we all have is kind of to have hope, to have something that we're aiming at that's beyond just this life, because this life has its satisfying attributes. But at the end of the day, our hope has to be based in something substantial and solid and trustworthy. And so a universal need, well, I guess I think of the book of Romans, where in chapter 5 it speaks about hope. And it's the result of many other things. Sometimes hope comes out because we have gone through a lot of other things that are challenging. And so I think that universal need is to have hope. But if we have our hope aimed at the wrong target, when we get there, it'll be a disappointment. But God's truth does not disappoint us. So as an author, I hope that the readers, and whether they're younger kids or older people, I think what I want them to take away from The Wonder of Believing when they finish that is just to say, you know what? I am going to enjoy a lot of things in life, but I'm going to have my hope anchored in Christ and who he is. And of course, in The Wonder of Believing, we haven't talked much about it, but it kind of deals with the idea of Santa Claus and how people get so enthralled about that. And maybe we can talk about that later, but it's easy to get your hopes aimed at something else. And as young kids, we do that, and I understand that. But our hope needs to be firmly anchored in who God is and who he is in Christ.
Interesting. So can you share with us the motivation behind writing The Wonder of Believing? And I guess, how do you hope like it'll impact parents, but more specifically, I guess, children, right, since we're on that?
Yeah. Well, I guess that motivation or what drove me from the beginning, what was the genesis or the beginning of that, was that I was watching the movie Polar Express, and that's just an awesome movie, just a wonderful movie, and people enjoy it, and all the technological animation features that are there to get kids' minds just peaked. It's amazing. But it starts off with young kids doubting at Christmas time, but what are they doubting? They're doubting that Santa Claus is real. And so I watched the whole movie, and I've enjoyed that principle, you know, just looking at that over years. But you go to various movies on TV or whatnot, it seems so often in a Hallmark movie, the Christmas idea is about Santa Claus over there and make your wish. And then all these other things, decorations and lights and trees, and I enjoy all those things. But in Polar Express, they went through that whole movie, which probably cost them millions of dollars. And at the end, what's the end result? Those kids are standing around looking up as Santa Claus flies away and say, I believe. And so it hit me like a load of bricks right then, Alex, that I want kids to have that same wonder in believing in God. And that truth at Christmas is all about Christ, him coming, being born in a manger, right, in a lowly feed trough, and then living his whole life, eventually proclaiming that he's the Messiah. And that he would then be charged in as being a false Messiah, but he was really the Messiah who came. And his purpose in coming was to actually die on a cross, pay for our sins, and there lies our faith. And that's where my hope is, not in something that's really artificial. And, you know, we'll probably talk about this later, but I enjoy the Santa Claus stuff and talking about it with kids. But the fact is, he's not real, and I want parents to be up front with their kids and yet still enjoy some of those things that go around Christmas, even the Santa Claus principle, if you want. But Polar Express reminded me, I want kids to be full of wonder about who God is and who Christ is.
Yeah, and I love that you're able to kind of write something that's more mainstream, something that has been kind of presented in that light and has that feeling of euphoria and nostalgia. But you're right, that is kind of the same spirit that we could have and we could attribute to something much more magnificent. So I love how you were able to kind of pivot that and you saw the value in something like that, especially in our children. So very, very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I love the way you, kind of like broke that down.
Thank you.
So I also had a question that's more specific to the story. So In regards to the character Brayla, right, and their journey, what themes and messages did you aim to convey through that, through their journey and the wonder of believing?
Yes. Well, you know, Brayla is a combination of two names, Braylon and Layla, two of my granddaughters, and they were little at the time I wrote this. But I got thinking, boy, as those girls grow up, I don't want them to just have a euphoria or excitement about a Santa Claus. I want them to have an excitement and enthusiasm inside of them for who the truth of who Christ is, who God is, you know. And so I thought, I would like kids, and especially, you know, I was thinking of my grandkids at the time, I want them to realize that their journey through life could bring them up to many disappointments where it almost seems disappointing, like the presents I got and all this hope and those gifts end up sometimes eventually becoming a pile of rubble, but things we enjoy and they're practical and all that, but still they don't meet up with the expectation. And sometimes I wanted to think maybe this Brayla character would have her realization that her hope is in during Christmas and throughout her life, but it's in God and in him and his story of redemption for us. And so in the story, I also get to a point where the little kiddo named Brayla realizes that this world sometimes gets a little bit dark and disappointing. And that's just the reality of sin and how the Holy Spirit brings a conviction to us about that. And then that had to be solved. And that wasn't going to be solved through anything in this life except for through a faith in Christ.
How do you approach balancing the traditions of Christmas, right, and the true message of Christ in your book to create a meaningful and engaging story for your readers?
You know, it's kind of like this. At Christmas, we see the lights, we see the Christmas carols, we see the extra red and green and all the intensity. I mean, who doesn't love that? There's a lot of extra going on. And even to have Santa Claus over on the side of the stage meeting kids to get their wishes. But when I thought about the traditions of Christmas and all the lights and all the colors and all the songs, sometimes is it the songs that have very little meaning and very little truthfulness that take over? Or are they the ones that come back to, oh, come all ye faithful, and joyful, joyful, you know, we adore, and other songs that have the depth of the message of Christmas? And then I thought about, what about this grand character, Santa Claus, and what do we do with him? So my goal is to have parents have a tool to read with their kids, to talk and say, hey, let's be honest about this. These traditions of Christmas, some of them are real, some of them are not, but let's get to the essence of Christmas and still enjoy some of the traditions of Christmas and keep our focus on the main thing. So I think that's a lot of how that worked.
Wow. And so now on the contrary, right, what challenges did you face during the writing process and how did you overcome them?
Well, I think one thing that was challenging for me because, excuse me, on that night that I wrote this, and I did write it in just that one night, and it is a children's book. It's not all that long, but I wrote it in just one big gush. It just kind of came out because it all made sense to me. But the challenge for me, because it kind of came all out almost like just, you know, really inspired from that movie and then what I wanted kids to understand, the challenge was later on, what do I need to change? What do I need to take out of this or add back in or fix or whatnot? And that was some of the challenge, as well as trying to keep the very serious side of the Word of God, the truth of God's, you know, God's redemption and his plan for mankind, to keep that at the fore without making it too deep for those kids. But let's face it, the fact is when you deal with a man that came and lived and was born and then actually died on the cross. I mean, I take the kids all the way from the beginning of Santa Claus to the reality of sin, to the birth of Christ, to the death of Christ, to the hope we have in a risen Savior. Really, the whole gospel message is packed into these pages, and that was the challenge, trying to get it all in there for the kids.
I mean, you did a great job. Let me just state that right now. But that does sound like a lot, especially the fact that you wrote it all in one night. I feel like that's so much to tackle. And I mean, the fact that you really just cycled through all that, are you like a natural born writer? How did you come about, you know, doing this so quickly?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not. I'm actually, I think I'm a natural born musician. I really enjoy music, and I've done a lot of work there, just a lot of creativity and, you know, creative musicians are creative people, usually artists and whatnot. But I actually struggled in my writing and my English classes in middle school and high school. And I remember on one of my college papers, my first year of college, the teacher wrote a grade on the top of the paper that wasn't so edifying. So I didn't do that great of a job, and maybe if I wrote a large novel, I'd have a lot more trouble. But in this one, I knew what I wanted to say, and it just came pouring out because I knew this is a problem for people. The clarity of God's word, because we're in a world today where I think Satan and the world itself just wants to convolute and mess up, confuse, water down the message. But I want a clear message for kids and really mom and dad to say, okay, this is where we stand. We're not compromising here. I'm going to love people. I'm going to honor people. I'm going to help people work with their sin, deal with what they're struggling with. Because for me personally, I've struggled with plenty of sin and still do. But I realized there is one message of hope, and that is Christ and Him crucified and His life for us. So I think writing-wise, no, I wasn't that great of a writer and probably still am not. But at this level, I really enjoy writing to help kids understand. And for me, I love telling my grandkids stories, and I just make up stories all the time with them about little characters that teach them moral principles and their trust in God and His word. So that naturally does, yeah, come out of me all the time.
Wow. And that's great because, I mean, your grandkids they're in the story. Like you combine the names.
Yeah.
Kind of paid some homage to them there. But then also without them, you wouldn't, you know, be the natural storyteller, I guess, that you are, because you are.
So yeah. Thank you. I enjoy that.
Yeah. And then, so it seems like there was a combination of, right, of like your own personal belief and values, but then also kind of like an objective standpoint. So can you just tell me a little bit about, like, in what ways do you believe that your own personal beliefs and values were reflected in the narrative and the characters within the book?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the key to that is that, and maybe why I wrote it, but when people grow up, their parents instill into them values, their biblical background, their church background. In our own country in America today, and it's true throughout the world, the typical and normal life of people attending the church and being fed consistently the word of God, given understanding, is fading away. The numbers are decreasing. And that's very frightening because if there is one true God, and there is, but let's just say if there is, then He is a sovereign God. He's a God who rules and reigns over. He's providential. In other words, He does things. He's working. But in our world today, we're moving more and more away from having grounded teaching come into our earlier years, formative years. If that's happening, we're moving away from that, and statistics show that, then young kids are having less and less morals and beliefs established by the Word of God and in their families. And unfortunately, sometimes in our families, and I really grieve over this, we're having more and more difficulty holding the family unit together. And, you know, one of the things we read in Scripture is that the enemy, you know, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to do those things. The reason he does that is because he hates God. I hate to say that, but that's what's going on. And so, as a result, he wants to destroy those things God has established. For instance, the Bible. For instance, the family. For instance, those things. But once those things become destroyed, we got to find a way to reach in and help people rebuild. And I think this book is part of a launching pad for parents to go in a number of directions. For instance, honesty. For instance, the reality of things in this life and the deeper issues of you have a decision to make in your own personal faith, kids. And I want to share that with you. So I think, you know, some of those things come into being. So my upbringing had quite a bit of church and faith. And we came to the point where it was very, very important in my life. And I'm thankful for that.
How do you envision parents using the wonder of believing as a tool to help their children understand that true meaning of Christmas and connect with their faith?
Well, I think it's I guess one of the first things that came up for me in this is to be honest, because at the end of that Polar Express movie, I saw those kids with all their dazed wonder. And I know it's just a story, but it also still is something that people do in this life. They believe in Santa Claus. That's just fine. I think go for it. But is your belief so deep that it's like you have to strip yourself away from it later? Or is it more just something you do along the way? But so my envision is parents would be honest with their kids actually up front. And I someone asked me this a while back, did you do this? Did you teach this kid to your kids in the early years? No, I did not. I was more of a Santa Claus teacher, but I also taught the truths of God and the principles of Scripture. But Alex, I feel like, I think it is important, especially in a world that's really confusing today, and dishonesty is on tap all the time, politicians and you know, advertisements. I want to say, let's be honest about this one right up front, and then help the kids have fun with gift giving and Santa Claus and everything else, you know, Rudolph the Red Nose, just have fun with it, but be honest. And with that, Ben, I think you do develop a unique character, honesty, and the kids read through it and they know. So I think God, one of the things we read in Scripture is that Christ is called the Logos, the beginning, the truth of God. He is the Word of God. And if our Word isn't good, how do we trust the Word of God? So it's important that we develop a trusting relationship with people, and especially our kids.
Yeah. And so again, going back to the topic of kids and just kind of, and we're kind of talking about the spiritual, like, right, like the resonance and everything. So can you just maybe describe the journey of self-discovery and spiritual growth that Brayla undergoes in the story without giving too much away, but just kind of how that resonates with the readers or how you anticipated it to resonate with the readers?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking a while back of the Christmas song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and the things of this world begin to fade away. And eventually in life, the things of this world fade away. You know, my mom passed away a while back. She was 90 years old. And at the end, more and more, the things of this world fade away. She would watch TV a lot. And then in the end, she didn't even want to watch it. I'd go to her nursing care center and I'd say, hey, mom, you want to watch some TV? There's a lot of hours. And she'd say, no, I'm just sitting here. And she didn't want to do any, because I think she was honing in on the end of my life is coming. And this is, I don't have to waste my time doing certain things. Well, for Brayla and the character in the story, she comes to a point where she says, I know these things don't satisfy. And I've even realized my own sin and my, you know, that I've fallen away from what's real and valuable. And I think she comes to a point where she realizes, I need to know what's trustworthy and true. And that's where the story of Christmas and the true nativity story comes alive, which explodes into the death and resurrection. And then, of course, a faith that we have in him and really a future in heaven with God in heaven. So,
wow. Well, lastly, I think I would like just to kind of go over everything that we talked about. How do you feel that the wonder of believing contributes to the literary landscape and the conversation surrounding faith-based storytelling for families and children?
Well, the literary landscape, you know, I guess I wouldn't count myself an expert in that area, but I would say this, that the landscape in our world today is really confusing. And I think this book deals with real life, even though it seems to be one subject, Santa Claus versus truth, God. But it's more than that. It's disappointments. It's how temporal things are temporary. But it brings you to the point where you know that in your life, you're going to have real convictions. You're going to have to deal with real life. And that means real convictions. You're going to have to make real decisions. You're going to have a real faith that ends up in, I guess, let's add one more, real hope. And, you know, in the Bible, Christ shared stories all the time, you know. He was a man that would use stories to teach his principles, and they just came alive in people's hearts. So as we teach in stories, I think authors, they teach in stories. Every author that writes a book has something they want to get across to the audience. Well, each reader read to the end of the book to figure out what that author was saying. And I hope they do. But many times I think people read the first part and then the backwards of the book and then they forget the rest. But maybe as authors, we realize we have a message and we're trying to give that away. And in this case, for the kids, that they would hear and understand the true gospel message.
Gregory, for everyone who's listening, I would love for them to have access to, you know, essentially what you are, the story that you wrote, I mean, the message behind it. So can you please tell us all where we can purchase your book?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's on Amazon. Authors Press is the publicator, but also they are the ones that have it available. Oblong Books, eBay, bookshop.org. I mean, there's just a lot of, I guess in our world today, we don't have to run down to the store, but we can search on the internet and find things. So if you just search it, you'll probably find it. The Wonder of Believing by Gregory Scherer. And I hope people will enjoy it as they check it out.
Yeah, and that's Gregory Scherer. I'm going to just spell it out so that people can find it. It's S-C-H-E-R-R-E-R. Gregory Scherer, The Wonder of Believing. And Greg, can you just tell us a little bit about what your experience has been working with Authors Press?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I'm learning a lot every time I go through a different phase of things, but they've been very good to have creative ideas on how to expose and advance my book and to look at the different means of operating within the literacy world. And it's just opened my eyes. They've been able to educate me, I guess, as well. But I'm learning a lot about the industry as well as what the hopes and prospects are for my personal book and future writings in the days to come. They've been great.
I'm glad that you've found someone, a publishing firm, someone who can not only help you promote the book, but also you feel comfortable working with. So, Gregory, I mean, that's pretty much all the questions that I had. I don't know if you have any final comments or anything that you'd like to say to anyone listening.
You know, not a whole lot, except for it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, my goal for the book is initially it was for my grandkids, but then it really expanded into the fact that I think young kids need to see the truth. And I still to this day teach students a few hours a day music, and I'm around kids all day, and I look in their eyes and I see what's coming at them. And this world is bringing some pretty rough messages and confusion. And more than ever, I want young people to have a clear message of what the truth is. So,
yeah, I love that. And for anyone listening, The Wonder of Believing by Gregory Scherer is a great book with a great message. And you can find it on Amazon, Authors Press, and I believe you mentioned Oblong Books.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing we didn't talk about, Alex, and I know we're at the end, but one thing about the book, we tried to put it together in a fashion that would get the kids' attention, not the digital market. We really wanted to have the book to be a book where a kid goes, look at that. I almost think I could draw that. I could make that myself. And so some of the artwork depicts that in a simplistic way. But I want the kid to journey through the book as if they wrote it almost, and they can really engage with that. So that's a big part of that as we developed it. So hopefully as people have the opportunity to look at it, it'll come together and people will see the meaning and the purpose of the book.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. And for anyone listening, seriously, The Wonder of Believing is a great read. It's a great way to introduce such a big concept to your kid in a really nice and direct way, but also that's kind of fun. And like you said, it is tailored for kids. So The Wonder of Believing by Gregory Scherer, please go find it online. And Gregory, it's been a real pleasure having you, and it was a real pleasure talking to you.
Thanks so much, Alex. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Bye, Greg.